Today's episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by DraftKings.com. Football's your passion, right, Nicole?
Oh, yeah.
You know all the players and the teams, their strengths and weaknesses. Now put that knowledge to the test and play for your shot at $1 million. The top prize at DraftKings.com, it's just part of the $5 million in total prizes they're doling out in the week one contest. Nicole, you like prizes.
I love participation trophies.
Yes, DraftKings.com is the destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. You know, I do have a fear of commitment.
Oh, do you?
Yes. And it gets worse. Play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team live. You could renew old rivalries by challenging your friends and family in a private league to prove you're the superior GM. Do you want to challenge me?
No, I'm good.
Or join an existing league to go head-to-head with your friends, coworkers, and fantasy players from all across the country. So hurry to DraftKings.com now and choose your players you could seriously cash in week one. Use the code ROB and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code ROB to play for free for your share of $5 million in total prizes in the week one contest only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who can make his wife triggered just by mentioning the idea of Survivor, Millennials versus Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh,
Rob Sestrino, hello everybody. Did that make you mad?
Slightly, yeah.
Yes. All right, we are back, ready to talk about the Survivor Generation Xers, the people who were on MySpace, Nicole, and not on Snapchat.
I think a few of them are still on MySpace.
Some of them might still be on MySpace, and we are here to talk about all of the Gen Xers. Of course, we talked about the Millennials in part one of this two-part preview. We said we were actually going to be recording this the night after, and then
that didn't happen.
Yeah, like real Millennials, like real...
like the Millennials we are.
Yeah, we just, because we're too tired. We're tired. So we kept pushing it off.
I'll get a trophy anyway.
Yeah. So we pushed it back. It's now Sunday night, August 28th, that we're recording this part of the preview. So the Millennial part has gone up. Seems like got a good response. People like to have the first lady of podcasting back in the mix.
It's good to be back.
Good to be back.
It's good to be mixed.
So you did a great job on part one. Hopefully no pressure to keep it up.
It's a bit of pressure.
Yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm a little sleepy.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, we are all ready to go. I guess because you're getting old. That must be what it is.
I'm a millennial. We don't get
no,
old.
No. You are not a millennial. I did the research on this. Now, a lot of people ask.
Are you Maury of a?
Yes. So do your research. So I did a podcast earlier this past week where I recorded with a woman named Jamie Goodfriend, who is a chief marketing officer at Wonderman, and she is a generational expert, and she talked about what it means to be a millennial. From what I understand, it really goes by, you could go by when you're born, but I prefer to go by when you graduated high school. If you graduated high school after 2000, you're a millennial.
Oh, I'm a millennial.
No. You did not graduate high school.
Yes, I did.
After the year 2000. So you are not the millennial.
I'm on the cusp.
You are right there.
Yeah.
You're so close, but you are not the millennial.
Mm.
So, sorry.
Yeah.
It's not the millennial.
Sad story.
Yes.
This changes everything.
This changes nothing. You were never a millennial. You're not a millennial. Nobody thought you were a millennial.
So you're saying there's a chance.
No. There's no chance. You're not a millennial. So we're going to be talking about all of this here today. So excited to get into these 10 more people. We've got a lot more to do still here in this preseason. I know a lot of people are asking about when is the Corinne preview, where we're going to go through all of this stuff with her. That's going to be coming up the week after this. Probably look for that one about a week before the season starts. That'll be sort of like the last hurdle to get over as we get into the home stretch here of the preseason.
Yeah, it's my birthday weekend.
Yes. Well, that we will be recording it on your birthday weekend.
I'm expecting some celebrations.
Okay, maybe she'll bring a cake. So we got a lot to do here. Also,
I know you're listening. You better bring
Angie
a cake.
Kontz is going to be on to talk about her character types and much more here in the preseason as we get ready to go. Also, we're planning our live know-it-alls this season at Caroline's on Broadway. That's going to be coming up October 26th if you're in the New York area. Tickets are tough to come by. Yes.
Guess who won't be in the area?
Nicole.
Yep, this girl.
Nicole's not coming.
Sad story.
All right. October 26th is going to be the night of that show. Always have a fun time at those. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/KIA6 if you want to get tickets for that show. All right, Nicole. Anything else before we dive into talking the Gen Xers? Any interesting feedback you got on the millennial version?
Yeah, they just liked it. People liked it.
Okay. So let's dive in. Let's talk about the Gen Xers, of course. We're going to go through it. I have pictures up for you.
Yes. I like to call them the Angry Birds.
The Angry Birds. Why, you feel like that this group of Gen Xers are angry survivors?
They're not very cheerful.
No. Well, that's really the difference between the Gen Xers and the millennials.
Yeah.
I think that the millennials have
their
a lot of
smiles and sunshine.
Yeah. They have a lot of things to be excited about. Their whole future is ahead of them.
And they know at the end of this, they're going to get a trophy.
Well, this is the second time you said that.
Because that's all you heard about was trophies.
From the Gen Xers.
Yes. Yeah, they're obsessed with it.
The Gen Xers are really harping on that participation trophy. Now, in fairness, like the millennials didn't go out and get their own trophy. Some Gen Xer had to give
them their fault.
The trophy, just to be fair, to call out the irony of that.
Yeah, you did it.
Yeah. But the Gen Xers, they might have been optimistic, but I don't even think that as like growing up, the Gen Xers were super optimistic. And then they grew up and they were like, yeah, life sucks. That's sort of like, yep, we thought it sucked and it does suck.
We were right.
Yeah, that the millennials are saying they're excited with that things might suck. We're going to change them.
But we're going to change it.
We're disrupting things. And then maybe when they get older, maybe they won't be the same way, but that's sort of where this is all coming together.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, just power through, got to pay the bills, going to work hard.
Did you play Little League?
Yes.
Do you remember? And, you know, we were on the cusp of Generation X. Mm-hmm. I remember that even though we didn't win, we still got trophies, like actual trophies.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I think back and I do have a number of baseball trophies.
Like you came in 16th place, but you still got a trophy.
Yes. Leave Survivor All-Stars out of this, Nicole. But if I go back and take a look in my mind's eye, I don't remember being so good at baseball that I would have deserved a trophy for anything. But I do remember coming home from Little League at the end of the year with some sort of like cockamamie trophy.
Uh-huh. So, because you participated.
I think maybe also like for bowling.
Yes!
Also. So maybe we might be millennials now that if we look into this.
I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that maybe, I don't know when that started, but when, you know, if we're maybe in the 70s, you didn't get a trophy.
Yeah.
And by the time kids were growing up in the 80s, they the 90s. Gave them some dinky trophy.
Oh, my trophies weren't dinky.
Okay, all right. Well, your trophies were, I'm sure, spectacular.
Yes, it's like Michael Phelps.
Yes, except they give him medals. I bet he got trophies, too.
I bet he does.
Yes.
Sorry. I bet he's a whole room full of trophies.
Probably, and much more. We don't want to delve too far down that rabbit hole. So let's get into talking about our 10 Gen Xers here today. And we're going to start, I took a good look at this tribe photo here for the first time, which I had not seen before. Nicole, do you want to describe the tribe photo? I know that's one of your things that you do.
It just seems like a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah, that Ken caught my attention here up in the upper left-hand corner. Yeah, he looks like really posing real hard for...
Well,
for
he is a model.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. So he's everybody else is sort of pretty casual.
Everyone is fully dressed and he's just in underwear.
Yeah. Every other guy, you know, has a shirt on in the picture and then it's just like the one guy who's not just...
Like the game hasn't even started. Why is he naked?
Well, everybody else not only has a shirt on, also, they have shorts on. And, you know, he has no shirt and just like boxer briefs. It seems like that he
needed... It's not even boxer briefs. It's like the boxer tidy whities.
Yeah. He needed like another guy there, I think, in the picture. Because even the women aren't really scantily clad.
No, No one is.
Yeah.
Not even just, Rachel.
Yeah. So it's just a little bit of a weird look. He's standing next to Chris, who looks kind of like Louis C.K. in this picture.
And he looks like he's like trying to get away from from him.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about...
Although Lucy has a smile on her face.
Yeah, she's smiling. Let's talk about our first Gen Xer, and that would be Brett LaBelle, Nicole. Here is Mr. LaBelle. And boy, that's already... You're laughing?
Oh, you're...
So, what? Because that was somebody that you used to go in and sit in detention with?
No.
Yes, yes. That was a teacher in...
He had a baseball bat, like, behind his desk.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a story for another time. So, Brett LaBelle, and he is a police sergeant. He is from Dedham, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
He's gregarious, funny, hilarious, and caring. He likes to go to the gym, golf, improv, and bicycling.
Yes.
All right. He hates couples to sit on the same side of the booth.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. What's your take on this? We talked about
this. We talked about this. Yes. We've done that a few times.
Yes. We've talked about this on a patron cast. I don't mind that. I don't care if you want to sit on the same
side. Why do you care what I'm doing?
Yeah. You know, I feel like I don't get out that much.
Yeah. Let us, we don't get to talk unless there's a microphone.
Yeah. People who talk about politics and religion at Thanksgiving dinner, we don't have that problem because we don't have anybody here at Thanksgiving
it's
dinner.
It's just us.
And bullies. He hates bullies. So I don't know if you would get along with him, Nicole.
I you know, I have a feeling that he might be a little bit of a bully.
You think that he's the bully?
He might be.
Why do you say that?
I feel like he is the Gen Xer that's just like, you know, back in my day, I had to walk to school in the snow, barefoot, up a hill, 20 miles, and he's not going to be very tolerant to...
Understanding the millennial way.
Yeah. Yes.
He says that a Generation Xer is somebody who had to work hard for everything they have. They had to go to school, not just online. They had to ride the bus. They had to remember a time when Saturday morning had the best cartoons, and they had to know the difference between VHS and Betamax.
Do you really think that Saturday morning really had the best cartoons? I really disagree with this.
I don't know if you really needed to know too much about VHS and Betamax.
I mean, what is Betamax? I don't even know what it is.
Okay, well, now you're just being a poser millennial. Okay. He also, his father is his inspiration in life. What contestant are you most like? He would say Jonathan Penner. Because they're both funny, easygoing, and under the radar.
Yes.
Hey, does anybody remember back on Saturday mornings when you used to have to put your Saturday morning cartoons on Betamax?
What is Betamax?
Yeah.
He also says that healthy teeth are the key to a healthy life.
Is that true?
Yes.
How
yes.
about that?
Yeah, I didn't know.
He's not a dentist.
No. So, I mean, I could think of a million other things.
Well, that's a big important thing, dental hygiene.
Yeah.
All right. I like Brett. I really do. I think he's going to be a very fun character. I think he's a bit of a throwback in terms of he's like a... I know you talked about Survivor Guatemala on the last preview podcast. I think he's got a little bit of Judd in him. I think that...
I could see that.
I do think that he's sort of really piling on the millennials here in his bio, but I think that he's going to be funny. I think that
he does improv, so...
I don't think he takes it seriously. And I think that when you're sort of in this position, when they are asking you, they got a camera in your face, like, what does it mean to be a Generation Xer?
They're really pushing it, right?
Yeah, they really want you to, like, go after these nameless millennials. And then when you're sort of sitting right in front of them and interacting with them, I don't think you're necessarily as hard with them. I think he's a big fan of the show. I think he's going to be... he's going to be pretty fun. I think that there is at least a good history with... people like coming from the Boston area being characters on this show. They tend to be pretty opinionated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Brett is going to be...
I think he's going to fit in well on this tribe.
I think he'll fit in well on this tribe. The question for Brett is obviously going to be, what does it look like for him when the tribes become intermingled? You have to imagine that we're going to get a swap at some point. It might be relatively early in the season. It might be as soon as only 6 days in to
the
season.
I hate when they do that.
Why?
Because you're totally like pimping out this theme. Like, stick with it.
When they've done a theme for a season, I don't think they've ever abandoned it that quickly before.
Wasn't the race one was abandoned pretty quickly, wasn't it?
That is true. That is true. But they didn't call it Survivor Cook Islands, the race war. They didn't call it that. This is the season that has millennials versus Gen X baked into the theme. Yeah. It's not even like it is one of these things where it's like Survivor Micronesia, like parentheses, fans versus favorites. The season is literally called millennials versus Gen X.
Where is this filmed?
This is going to be filmed in Fiji. So,
oh, so they actually moved from where they've been doing it?
Well, they've been sort of like they do two in a row and they bounce around. So okay. They did do the season in Fiji back in Survivor 14, and now they've gone back there. They've done this with, they go just sort of like back around the rotation.
Yeah.
Where we did a season in Nicaragua, and then we came back and then did more stuff in Nicaragua. And mm-hmm. we're going around the, you know, up and down the lineup.
Yeah.
Okay. Here is Brett. And I feel good in the short term, but I think that this is going to be problematic for him in the long term.
Yeah.
But in the short term, I think it'll be a fun ride.
Yeah. I hope he makes me laugh.
Yeah. I think he will. Yeah. I think he will. All right. What about Brett in your photo here? We got him down in the front on the right in the class photo. Do you like that, how he's coming across there, Nicole?
No, he's by himself, arms are crossed, softball position.
Yes, he's trying to get that participation trophy he never got.
No, he has very closed off body language.
One of the other things he says in his bio about what does it mean to be a Gen Xer, after he says about VHS and Betamax, he says, and they certainly know what it means to drop a dime.
What does that mean?
Drop a dime?
Yeah.
That means when you like rat somebody out.
Isn't he a cop? They're not supposed to do that, right?
Well, I think he knows maybe that they don't like it.
Yeah.
So that's Brett. All right.
But he knows how to drop a dime, it means he ratted people
out? They know what it means to drop a dime, so maybe that...
That is a really weird thing to say.
Maybe he says that maybe a Gen Xer wouldn't do that to another Gen Xer. Not going to drop a dime on that person.
But they know how to.
I guess they do.
They got those skills.
They know what it means to drop a dime. They don't necessarily know that they're going to do it.
Does that mean you get whacked?
I don't think so. I mean, what is
I'm,
this?
I'm confused.
Yeah, this is the Generation X mob. Okay? Yeah. Drop a dime to snitch on someone, according to the Urban Dictionary. Often to save their own ass.
Oh, so maybe he's going to snitch on somebody to get himself further in the game?
I guess
so. We don't like rats, though.
Yes. And this term comes from the old cost for a payphone call, which was 10 cents. Yes. And for you millennials,
what's a payphone?
Yes, a payphone was, they had a phone, you had to put a coin in there.
And wasn't it a quarter?
To make, well, this is how old that was, to drop a dime. So maybe that's like a baby boomer.
What is it now?
I have no idea.
It's not like free.
Now there are no more payphones.
I see them sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. But those are just there for drug deals.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about our next person here in the Gen X tribe. Let's talk about Chris Hammonds. He's a 38-year-old trial lawyer from Oklahoma. He is super competitive and he doesn't lose. He is tenacious because he never gives up and he's a fighter. He hates smacking gum. He hates it. I would do away with all the gum.
Just get rid of all the gum.
Boy, this Generation X tribe so far is a dentist's dream come true. 4 out of 5 dentists recommend the Gen X tribe.
Yeah.
They asked him, what does it mean to be a Gen Xer? He says, to me, it means that you work hard. It means you get up with a purpose and a goal each day. It means you can do anything in America as long as you work hard and never give up. I wonder if somebody...
He's angry.
Yeah. If somebody would have asked me, what does it mean to be a Gen Xer? I don't know necessarily how I would answer the question. I guess if it was an essay and I had a time to think about it, I don't know if it necessarily would mean... What does it mean now to be a Generation Xer? I think I would probably answer the question, and maybe they weren't allowed to answer the question that way, but I think it would mean I would talk about what it meant to grow up in the generation that I grew up. Like, I don't really think of now I live my life as a Generation Xer in whatever fashion.
Yeah, I mean, do you associate it with working hard? I feel like it's just like, we grew up and our parents kind of went to work. We did our thing and that was it.
Yeah, I kind of feel like you work hard because you're in your 30s now.
Because you have to pay the bills.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's not, it has anything to do with any generation. I guarantee you, like, some 38-year-old millennial one day will also be working hard and not I mean, probably not living in their parents' house, but maybe. I don't know.
You know what? I'd live at my parents' house if I would could save
you
money.
No, you would not.
No,
would
I
not.
Wouldn't.
Well, that's actually one of the things that we talked about when I spoke with Jamie in the Millennial and Gen X podcast was that it was a thing. If you were a Gen X, you couldn't get out of your parents' house fast enough. And then for a lot of millennials, their parents are kind of like their friends that they want to hang out with. It's like their parent, but also kind of their friend.
Yeah, and our parents couldn't wait to get us out of the house.
They wanted us gone.
Yeah.
We wanted to be gone. And we'll go
the
live.
The feeling was mutual.
Yeah, we wanted to be somewhere. We don't care if we have no money. We'll just I'd rather live, I'd rather be poor.
And that's why you had to work
live
hard.
With my parents, right. So a little different. So personal claim to fame, he says he came from nothing. He put himself through law school. His inspiration in life is a guy named Jerry Spence, who was America's greatest trial lawyer. And if he could have anything in life, he would like a medicine pouch given to him by an Indian chief who is blessed with love and caring.
See, this doesn't fit the description of this man.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. So you talk about the medicine pouch, Nicole.
I don't have it in front of me. You have to read the quote, but it doesn't seem to match the person.
No. He says that with the medicine pouch, it would give him power in the challenges. And then he also would want a journal and a pencil to document his adventure. And the survivor contestant that he is most like, Boston Rob, he gave one of the most dominant performances ever on Survivor. All right. What do you think of Chris here?
Captain Cranky Pants.
You think he's a cranky pants?
Yeah.
I don't know if he is that cranky. Well, I know that just from the bio that...
Oh, according to the bio.
According to the bio,
cranky.
It sounds cranky. But I actually think that he is going to be a better player than we're making it sound so far.
Why is that?
I just think that as a trial lawyer, I mean, he is... he sounds like a grizzled...
He sounds like he doesn't really take any crap, and this is the way it goes, and that's it.
Yeah, and he hates gum, but, I mean, he's a... Seems like a blue collar guy, but has sort of a white collar job. My only concern here is how well can he work with the millennials? How well is he going to be able to relate to the young people? I don't know. I kind of feel like as a lawyer, you have to communicate with people a lot. Like I really feel good about him.
I feel like he's a no-nonsense kind of guy.
No nonsense? Not even a little nonsense?
No gum.
I mean, he's on Survivor.
Yeah.
You gotta have some tolerance for nonsense to go do Survivor.
Yeah. We gotta have a tolerance for not eating.
2016, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there could be some nonsense in the mix.
Yeah. Now, did he say he wanted to, that he liked the surfing Santa, or was he like, who is the surfing Santa? I don't remember.
We'll talk about that. There was a lot of people that really were talking about Paul and describing him in sort of like this police lineup type situation. And they thought that people described him as like an NFL player or, and I'm assuming that that's who they're talking about.
Yes.
But maybe they're talking about Brett or maybe even Chris.
No, I think they're all talking about the same one.
Okay. So did he comment on Paul specifically?
Well, he said the surfing Santa.
Yes.
And then Paul said that he's like Santa.
He's like Santa. Okay. So you think that they're not going to get along?
They seem very different.
I think that maybe that's an area where the no-nonsense part of things could come into play.
Yeah.
So maybe you think that maybe within the Gen X tribe, you think there could be some dissension in the ranks.
Well, he's already pointing them out.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know necessarily how Paul is going to fit in, and obviously we will talk about Paul when we get there. So Chris, I do think, is somebody who's going to be, I think him and Brett are going to get along really well.
I do agree that they're like the same.
So now we're looking at sort of a power structure here in this group. Do you think that the other women are going to be able to get along with these guys also?
Maybe Brett. I don't know about Chris. I feel Chris is a very... you know, masculine man,
he's
alpha male.
A man's man.
A man's man.
A man's man lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the part of the reason why I'm so high on him, I thought he had a pretty good interview with Josh Wigler where he's talking about how he's been a big fan of the show and he knows that he can be good at the game if he just gets on there And he says that he has been really impressed with Boston Rob and what he does. And he lures in those quirky Philip types and gets them loyal to him. And I think he's going to not be a disaster. I know that it's easy.
Well, it's one thing to like that. It's one another thing to be able to do that.
Sure, sure. But if he could have his medicine pouch out there.
But he doesn't have it. So the magic is not with him.
Yeah. All right. So I'm feeling pretty good on Chris.
Okay.
We'll see how it plays out in practice. What do you think about Chris up near the tribe flag in the photo?
Let's see. So he is turned away from Underwear Man.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, get away from me.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be.
He wants no part of this funny right. business. And who is he next to?
He is next to Gen X Jessica.
Jessica. Yeah, all I could see is he's like, get away from me, Underwear Man.
Okay. Not super into it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Ciandre Cece Taylor, Nicole.
Cece.
Cece Taylor. She is the 39-year-old insurance adjuster.
Another neighbor of ours.
Granada Hills.
Yes.
And she is outgoing, strong-minded, and a goal setter. She is into writing, hiking, working out, and watching reality shows. Oh, me too. Except hiking and working out. Her pet peeves are people who can't drive in traffic, and people who cough and sneeze without covering their mouths.
Yeah.
She is somebody who she tells us in her video that she has multiple personalities.
Well, she says her boyfriends tell her she has multiple personalities.
She also spends a lot of time chasing a frog in her video.
Well, which personality is that?
I'm not sure.
Is that the princess?
Maybe. I don't know if she tried to kiss the frog, but she's like literally running around chasing a frog.
Yes.
And then she finds the frog and then picks it up.
She wants to turn into her prince.
That's a good way to get warts.
That's toads.
Watch out. Yeah. Watch out, Cece. So what does it mean to be a Gen Xer? She says that she comes from a generation of fighters. Her foundation of her family is built on strong women. They shaped her into who she is today. She says that we worked hard, and if we failed, we tried again. That was the mindset of the Gen Xers.
I mean, was that like a conscious mindset? Like, if I fail, I'm just going to keep going. Like, no, I don't think so. Do you?
No, I don't think so either. I think it's sort of there.
I feel like all these are reaches.
Yeah, I think people are sort of having some revisionist history on what it takes to be a Gen Xer. Her inspiration in life is her grandmother. She would bring a Bible to the island. And what player is she like? She's a combination of Spencer and Tasha.
Mm-hmm.
They both got far and were strategic and adaptive. Spence and Tasha. She is Cass's least favorite player. Okay.
It's just Cass's nightmare.
Cass's nightmare. Nicole, how are you feeling about Cece?
I'm kind of lukewarm.
Lukewarm,
yeah.
On Cece. Why? What's the turnoff? The frog thing?
The frog, yeah, and the multiple personalities.
From her boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, like it can't be everybody else.
You think that it's like a Taylor Swift type thing?
Don't talk bad about Taylor Swift.
I'm not.
What are you,
I'm
Kanye?
Not. I'm not. I'm not. I never talk bad about Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Cece is interesting to me.
I think she's going to be a very interesting character.
I have to say that Cece is somebody that is a little bit of a mystery so far for me. I don't have a lot that Josh hasn't done an interview with her. I don't think, or he hasn't posted his interview with her. I don't think that Gordon Holmes has his interview out yet with her. So there's really not a lot to go from on her, from her bio. She really could be a wild card.
Yes, I'm just going to listen to her boyfriends.
You're going to listen to her boyfriends.
Because that's all I have to go with.
The frog thing is weird.
Yeah, but they're all weird in their B-rolls.
Yeah, it is sort of weird. And there's not a lot to cling to from what she's telling us in her bio.
Yeah.
Why do you think you'll survive Survivor? She talks about that she overcame adversity in her life. And she's talking about how Spencer and Tasha were both strategic and adaptive, but those are really just words. I don't really have a lot to go off of in her.
Was Spencer really adaptive? I feel like he was always just holding on by the seat of his pants.
I mean, I think that that's a hard thing to describe if people are adaptive or not. I think he rolled with the punches all through his Survivor journey.
Yeah.
So I don't know about Cece.
Yeah.
I really don't have a strong feeling either way. I'm not feeling like she's a disaster like a couple people in this tribe. And I'm not feeling great about her.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Not much to go on.
Okay. She could be a good character.
Yeah.
We just don't know. Let's talk about David Wright. And no, we are not talking about the former New York Mets star.
Is he former now? Is he done?
Well, he might be done. Oh, we don't
know.
It's
a sad story.
Know. All right. We're talking about the 42-year-old David Wright, the television writer from Sherman Oaks.
Yes, another neighbor.
By the way, how was Cece in the tribe photo? Nicole always moves away from the microphone to look at the photo.
I have another cute computer I have to look go around.
Okay.
Yeah, I got nothing for that either.
Nothing. Got nothing for you.
Yeah.
All right. So David Wright, that three words to describe you are OCD, nervous, and paranoid. His hobbies are 3D printing puzzles. He doesn't like sudden loud noises. People who don't turn on a turn signal. People who believe in ghosts and psychics. People who are late for dinner. People who incorrectly use the word nonplussed people.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, with the nonplussed, I'm a little hesitant. A little hesitant on the nonplussed thing.
Uh-huh.
If, I think you're unimpressed, but are you plussed? Are you nonplussed?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Now it's in my head. It's hard.
All right, moving on.
All right. What does it mean to be a Gen Xer? Gen Xers believe in hard work, earning their rewards, and eating breakfast. Why does no one eat breakfast anymore?
Come to Rigid Rob's house.
Yeah, well, that's, I'm a Gen Xer.
Uh-huh.
What, are millennials out on breakfast? Nicole, you don't eat breakfast.
I don't, that's why I'm a millennial.
Nope, still not.
Yeah.
So his inspiration in life is Spock. Yeah, Nicole, that's perfect for you.
Uh-uh.
Now, Nicole, I'm always surprised that you are so out on Star Trek, considering that your recent confession to me about...
And then why do you have to spill my beans all the time?
Yes. How much you love space.
Mm-hmm.
You love space, but you don't like Star Trek. What gives? How do you reconcile those two things?
I'm a closet nerd.
Closet nerd, okay.
Yes, that I recently came out.
And to say that you are really obsessed with shoes and clothes, that's what kind of closet nerd you are?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Star Trek just seems like, I don't like the production value on it.
The production? What are you even talking
about?
It
looks so old. I can't watch old shows.
Yeah. Well, I'll get you some Star Trek seasons on Betamax, and then we can check them out. You might like it.
I don't think I will.
Okay. Survivor contestant you most like, of course, it's Cochran. He's intellectual. And
he's a anxious writer.
Yes. Yes. He also relates to Joey Amazing and his puzzle solving skills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, David has done some pretty cool things where he's
an impressive resume.
Yes. He has recreated Survivor puzzles and then put them together, Nicole.
Oh, is that so?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that? Do you like his chances there?
If there's puzzles, he can do them, but I don't think that his neuroses is going to do well for him.
Yeah, I don't know if necessarily that's going to help him. But, you know, as Cochran, I believe, in the final tribal council in Survivor Karamoan discussed that paranoia can be your friend. And I think that when he was talking with Malcolm about what was the difference between me and you, it's like, I was super paranoid. I always thought everybody was out to get me. And in a lot of instances, they were. And it was something that kept me thinking about, like, who's working with me, who's not working with me. And that paranoia can work for you on Survivor. I think that David is going to be somebody who's an incredibly intelligent player, but will he, A, get along with his tribe?
Yeah, but you know what? Cochran also learned how to channel that paranoia on his second season. His first season, he was kind of cuckoo.
Yes. David, I think, is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I mean, he's great in these interviews and these confessionals. Mm-hmm. The thing that I'm concerned about here with David in this tribe is that this tribe is a particularly blue-collar tribe.
Yeah.
If we're going to sort of like go down the list, and for the most part, you have a lot of people that are either from more rural places, people that have more sort of blue-collar jobs, that this group of people that he's with just does not seem like a great fit for David.
He wrote for Family Guy? Is that what he wrote for?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think that Chris knows who Stewie is.
Oh, I think you're probably wrong about
that. I think Brett is all up on that.
I don't think that these guys are going to be sort of like snooty looking down.
I don't think he's going to be snooty. They're going to be snooty, but I think that he's going to be able to kind of get like people starstruck, like Brett. For, you know, he wrote for Family Guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he's necessarily going to come out and open with that with this group.
Yeah.
So I think that David, that he's going to have to really rely on his charm and his personality here. I just worry where he's out there with a bald head. It's a little like Lex
Luthor.
You
think he's going to get a sunburn?
No, I'm not worried about him getting a sunburn, but I am worried about like
he used to be the bad guy?
I think that people would probably look at him and say like, oh, okay, there's the evil genius that's on our tribe, where I think that he kind of has the look of a super genius. Yeah.
Maybe he looks smart, but he doesn't look like a Lex Luthor.
Well, I think that's sort of
that's what
I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't think that they're going to look at him and say like, "Oh, that guy, he looks like he's probably up to something?"
No, they're probably like, "Oh, look at the nerdy guy."
Okay. Well, why do they put, you know, a nerdy guy on the show, especially when it's not like a young nerdy guy? I think that when you put, and not, with all due respect also, where you put somebody on the show like that, I feel like that the other contestants really say like, hey, well, why is he here? He's obviously here to be the villain who is going to be the person who is the strategist. And maybe
I think
somebody,
that's what they're going to think, that he's the strategy. He's the smart guy.
Yeah. Well, there's not a lot of people that are sort of like the heroic strategist, maybe to us, the viewers.
Well, Cochran wasn't the villain. He was a smart.
Well, talk to the people that might have played it him. That I think that some of them, I mean, he did win 9-0, but I think in the moment they say, boy, we should have gotten rid of Cochran when we had the chance. Why do
I'm sure
we
they
thinking?
Say that about every winner.
Not necessarily. I think that there's a lot of people that are like, okay, well, I was with them and they feel like, oh, we had no idea what he was up to.
Okay.
I worry about David in that sense, but I think that I'm probably not going to pick David as my winner.
Yeah.
But there definitely is a point where I probably would have picked David to be the winner.
Yeah. I think purple's his color.
It looks
good on him.
I think he's going to be a lot of fun. I think he's going to be one of the stars of the show. I don't know how much longevity he's going to ultimately have, but I think that he is going to be highly entertaining for as long as he's on the show.
Yeah. I feel like he's not going to last long.
I'm worried.
Yeah.
I'm worried. Now, I actually think that he might fit in better with the
millennials.
I think that maybe in this group. Now, he's going to work hard.
I feel like the millennials are really good about calming people's anxieties, and the Gen Xers are really good about making it worse.
So I think that he can latch on to a group here. And so as long as they don't have like a bunch of like losses in a row where they're going to be going to tribal council, I think that he can probably find a home here in this group. I think that he can adapt and work with the younger people better than some of the other people in this tribe. So saying that out loud now, I think that maybe he could do some damage. And he's just one of these people. If he makes it to the merge, he's making it to the final five.
Yeah.
I think that he can go far. I worry about him in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to avoid the David Sampsoning of being overly strategic and letting everybody know he's overly strategic.
Yeah. Don't be a bragger.
Yeah. Very excited about David Wright. Haven't had a bad David Wright in my life yet. All right.
He is living on his own island in that group picture.
David Wright, the survivor, actually healthier than David Wright, the baseball player at this point.
Yeah.
Good for David Wright, the survivor. Nicole, what do you think about David Wright, the survivor in the class photo?
He's on his own island. He's like really far away from everybody.
Yeah. Well, he gets anxious.
Yeah.
He doesn't like that.
You think he's a germaphobe?
I don't know. I mean, if he's OCD, it sounds like that's, you know, kind of where that comes from.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Gen X Jessica. Jessica Lewis.
Yeah.
The other Jessica. Gen X Jessica is from Voorheesville, New York. Do you know where that is?
Is it like upstate?
Yeah. I took a look at it. It's near Albany.
Okay.
So I'm surprised that she didn't say Albany, but, you know, that she's
she's proud of her town.
Proud of Voorheesville.
Mm-hmm.
She's an assistant district attorney. She's unique, unconventional, and intriguing. She likes painting, baking, and photography. And her pet peeves are people who blame others for their own misery.
Yeah.
So, Nicole, she would not like you.
I think she would hate your guts.
How dare you. So she is a Gen Xer, and she says that means that her parents were farmers, they worked harder, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Her personal claim to fame is she got into law school, she made it through, she passed the bar, and excelled as a prosecutor, and she did all this while getting married and starting a family.
She seems like a very, very proud lawyer.
Yes. If she could have anything on the island, she would choose lip balm because it travels everywhere with her, champagne, and salt and vinegar chips, which she's lumping into one item because they go together. Champagne and salt and vinegar chips. Nicole, is this something that you would try?
Dehydration.
Yes. Yes. And she's going to bring a picture of her family. The contestant that she says she is most like is Ceri. She says her early life struggles are similar to her own. I didn't know about Ceri's early life struggles.
She was on a
struggles.
Farm?
I don't know. I don't know much about Ceri before she got to the island. I know she was on the couch.
She's an OR nurse.
Yeah. She was Ceri. She was on the couch. She was afraid of leaves. And then she was on the island. I don't know a lot about her bio. this caused both of us to develop a resilient personality, the ability to push ourselves and never give up. This, along with our strong desire to help our families, it gives us what many people lack, which is drive. I wonder if she actually knows a lot about Ceri's background, or if she's sort of like fan fictioning it. Okay, this is my background. I'm just going to sort of put this onto Ceri.
I don't know. She seems like a fan.
Yeah, I think so. I actually was sort of out on Jessica when I first was watching her video, and then it went on. I'm like, maybe.
She says that her life is like the movie The Labyrinth.
Oh, boy. The David Bowie movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever see that?
I've never seen it.
I had it on Betamax.
Stupid.
Yeah. Stupid. That's not nice. I got a little bit of a Dina vibe from Jessica.
Because she's a DA.
Okay. Well, then what do you want?
Does that disqualify her
from?
Oh. Are your feelings hurt now?
Well, I don't know. That's okay. Well, that I don't know how to come back from then you shooting down my argument.
It wasn't an argument.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know where to go from here.
Okay. Let's move on then.
Okay. All right. So I feel that I'm sort of bullish on Gen X Jessica.
I like Jessica, but I don't know if she seems like a strong woman. I don't know if she's going to fit in with these alpha males.
Why wouldn't she? I feel like that the alpha males would probably be looking to, unless she's like, hey, we're doing things my way. I think that she would sort of like fit right in with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she's actually one of the women that I think they would really get along with, especially you have a couple of these real blue collar guys. Like, I'm not sure necessarily if a couple of the people that are more eccentric are going to quite fit in with that. But you have somebody here who's raised on a farm. She's going to obviously be a helper.
And she works hard. You know, you're right.
She works hard. She's a lawyer. I think that there's going to be a lawyer alliance, perhaps. Look in the picture, Nicole.
Lawyers are us.
Yeah, lawyers are us, I think could be a thing. Look at Gen X Jessica right next to the other lawyer, Chris. Very close in the picture.
She's on the top row.
She might have good lawyer dar.
They look like they're...
Law dar.
Looks like a prom picture, the way they're standing.
Yes, very close. I think that that could be something. She's 37. I think he's 38.
Mm-hmm.
They're both from sort of like a rural background. I see no reason why Gen X Jessica and Chris can't be working together. And I'm very high on both
of
them.
Or go to the prom together.
Or go to the prom together. So that is my take on Gen X Jessica.
Right. You know what? I could see that.
All right. Let's talk about somebody who we touched on earlier in this show where we talked about him in the class photo and his lack of clothes. Let's talk about Ken McNichol, Nicole.
Oh, Barbie and Ken.
Yeah. Why? Who's Barbie?
Maybe Rachel.
Rachel? Okay. So here is Ken that I'm calling him. He's like the reformed millennial. He's only 33,
mm-hmm.
which I believe...
He's on the cusp.
I think he's on the right side of the cusp. I think he's on the millennial side of the cusp. Sure.
Oh, okay. He sounds millennial-ish.
Yeah. I think that he was basically a millennial, and then I guess he found out he has a daughter. It's like the premise for like a sitcom.
Yeah, he was living in Hawaii without water and electricity. He was basically like a caveman.
He was without water? That seems like a very... Seems like a bad situation he was able to get away from. So, yeah, he's like the reform millennial. Now he's a Gen Xer. He's driven, mindful, and perceptive. He likes anything outdoors. His pet peeves are superficial connections and communication.
I feel like he was high when he wrote this.
Yeah, he talks about how, like, I thought he was going in one direction. He's like, yeah, growing up in Bible study. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I did the same thing. And then he starts talking about hedonism.
And he's like, they used to talk about hedonism, and that's how I live my life. It's like, oh. Like, this took a turn.
I did the same thing. Like, I wrote down, oh, Bible reference. Oh, wait, hedonism.
Yes. Yes. Hedonism. Ken, I mean, he missed out on being on Utopia.
He thinks he is in hedonism with that outfit.
Yeah, I guess so. So that Generation X is a generation of hard workers who are on the cusp of some incredible social, political, and technological shifts. We're competent and
capable. Is that true?
I guess we're on the cusp of things. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean,
why? Because we started AOL?
I don't
dial up?
I don't know. That he has a nonprofit called Humankind. He admires the Dalai Lama better than admiring the Dalai Neely. If you got three things on the island, what would they be and why? A ukulele, like Sonia.
Uh-huh.
A good book and a frisbee, because no one is ever down throwing one around. So I guess that, like, nobody's ever sad.
Yeah.
Throw a frisbee around. Yeah, throw me the frisbee. I'll show you. Nicole, you once famously spoke out against frisbee golf after both Mike Holloway and Dan Foley listed frisbee golf as a hobby.
That is, what is that?
Okay, well, we talked about that.
I still don't
two
know.
Years ago. Survivor contestant you most like is Ozzy, who I believe also
is high.
Heeden, I was going to say. Because of his easy temperament and fierce competitiveness. And knowledge of how to survive in the world. He also seems idealistic and optimistic in general.
I'm not buying this Mr. Ken doll.
So you don't believe him?
I don't know. There's
or you're not buying him as a winner?
There's something off about this whole thing. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something off about this whole thing. Like, the stuff doesn't line up to me.
Yeah. I don't know when I hear stuff like this. It really makes me question who I am as a person. Because
yes.
If Ken's worldview...
He seems like a perfect person.
Well, yes. If his worldview is correct, then everything I've done with my life is wrong.
Is crap.
Yes. Yes. That I've sat in a room. I've talked about a reality show for 15 years. I don't leave the house.
You do.
I don't go anywhere.
Stand there in your underwear.
I'm not a hedon. I'm not a Hedon or even a Hayden. It's really, if he's right, if what he's saying is true, then I've wasted my entire life and I have to reject this.
I don't know. I just say, I think he's just a hippie.
Is that a Gen X thing?
Ours is a hippie.
I guess so.
But ours, I'm sure ours's bio did not sound like this.
I don't. We'd have to go into do a research project. I don't know about Ken. Is he going to fit in with this group? It doesn't seem like he's from the same world as most of these other people.
Well, he talks about the new world. Is he Illuminati?
I don't know. Can he get to the millennials? Can he make it far enough that the millennials, that he's a young, fit guy that they obviously would need him for the challenges. If he gets to a swap, can he find a home with some of these other millennials that we talked about the other day, like snowboard instructor Taylor?
Maybe Taylor, but I feel like the rest of them are too, like, he's like really laid back and the other ones are like, go, 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 go.
Yeah. Or the other guy, Jay, on this group. Like, could those three guys be peas in a pod?
Possibly.
Is it possible?
It's possible.
It's possible. But I think that Ken seems like I don't know. I can't look at him as a contender.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something off about the whole thing that I can't put my finger on it.
He's between worlds here.
Yes, and he's in underwear.
So, not feeling great about Ken, but I think that is just sort of like at first glance, I don't think they'll get rid of him, and I feel like he'll be good post-swap. So,
yeah.
Seems like an early merge boot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's Ken. All right. Let's talk about Lucy, Nicole.
Yeah.
Lucy Huang. I'm hoping that I have that right. So here is Lucy. That she is a 42-year-old dietitian, and she's stubborn, hardworking, and controlling. She's from Diamond Bar, California. Do you know where that is?
I feel like I always hear that on the radio. Like, there's lots of like clubs and stuff over there.
Lots of clubs in Diamond Bar. That makes sense, I would think. So where is Diamond Bar? Diamond Bar is Eastern LA.
Okay.
Sounds fancy. Likes to lift weights. She cooks with her kids. And she watches food shows to find new restaurants.
Ooh.
Okay. Wow. Those must be the shows that tell you what restaurants to go to.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Pet peeves are lazy people, people with no common sense, and whiners, Nicole.
Welcome to Survivor.
She hates participation trophies.
Yeah, she sounds cranky.
She's cranky. Well, yeah. She is pretty jacked. So she's,
yeah. So she sounds like she needs like a piece of candy. She needs an M&M.
Some candy? Why? Yeah. She's a dietitian, Nicole.
Yes. And they're going to cheer her up.
So she created a business that has over 200 jobs for over 10 years.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Sounds successful.
Her inspiration is her mom for holding the family together.
Mm-hmm.
She says she's like Jeremy Collins because she would be a strong player in all aspects of the game. And at the same time, her actions would gain the respect of others.
Yeah.
Nicole, this is somebody I think you should team up with for your new blog about not being just a mom that we were talking about this on the last patron cast.
Yes.
That Nicole wants to start a new blog about that. You don't have to just be a mom.
Yes.
That's like Lucy.
Mm.
You and Lucy, just two Gen Xers and that you could talk about all the things about not just being a mom. It's also about you lifting weights. You like that?
Yeah, but I feel like she would yell at me a lot.
You don't like cooking with your kids?
Because my kids are babies and it would be, they would be taken away from me.
You hate participation trophies.
I love them.
You hate them? So I think that maybe you guys might have it. You guys both say you're like Jeremy Collins.
I like Jeremy Collins. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's what you say. You like Jeremy Collins.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, you and Lucy.
Yeah. Besties in the making.
Yeah. I think that you think she's cranky because they did not get a happy picture of her.
Well, the picture doesn't help, but
like,
she also...
She's like making like a real sad face. Like she's like somebody just said something horrible to her. And that's when they get this picture on CBS.com. She looks very happy in the class photo.
Where is she in the class photo?
Over, all the way on the left.
Well, she's standing next to a guy in his underwear.
Yeah. I don't know necessarily what they said to her right before they took this other photo. She must have...
They said, you're going to stand next to a guy in his underwear.
She must have pissed off somebody in production. And they said, what? What? But this other photo is very nice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She doesn't like people who don't have common sense and they complain. I think she's going to have a hard time.
Yeah, this is really... These photos are pretty unusual for the...
They're not like your regular photos.
Yeah, a lot of them are just sort of like they
like Cece looks crazy. Look at crazy eyes.
Yeah, Cece, this does not look like a photo that was posed. And this Lucy picture is really one of the worst. Most bizarre photos that we've ever had for survivors. I don't know.
Look at Zeke's photo.
Well, yeah, Zeke is also like, excuse me? Like, it's like they went and tried to do candids this season instead of posing the survivors for photos.
Yeah.
Like, this was really a unique way to go for the survivor publicity photos.
I know, and Ken's posing like a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, it's a little odd.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's talk about a few more of these players, Nicole. And do you have anything else to say on Lucy?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Paul, who has really been the talk of a lot of the preseason here of Survivor. Paul Wachter. He is a boat mechanic. He lives in Sugarloaf Key, Florida. And he says in his bio, by way of Long Island, I think that might have been in his interview that he did with Josh or Gordon. And he says that words to describe him are intimidating, methodical, and confident. He likes to sing in a rock band. He hates whiners and slackers. He's someone who never got a participation trophy. They should give all the Gen Xers a participation
trophy.
You know what?
They should take away all of their prize money because they don't deserve these participation trophies.
Oh, so you think that prize money counts as participation?
Yes, that's your participation trophy. Sorry, you don't get it now.
I don't know if that's necessarily the same.
It kind of is.
Okay, so maybe you think at the finale, Jeff Probst should bring out a participation trophy for all the Gen Xers.
And that's what they get.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what Ty got from Sia.
I guess so.
He didn't win.
Yeah.
He's like, but I liked you.
Yeah, so that was just weird.
Inspiration in life. David Lee Roth from Van Halen. Nicole, are you a big Van Halen fan?
Not so much.
Yeah, why not?
Because I'm a millennial.
Yeah, you're not. You're still not. Right now, you are not a millennial.
I was more of a boy bander because I'm a millennial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was that boy band New Kids on the Block?
No. I don't know what you're talking about.
So if you could have three things on the island, it would be a propeller necklace because my dad gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Thumb and pinky rings because my wife gave them to me. And a bracelet with my kids' names on it. Because they keep me grounded.
Okay, well, that's very nice.
Yes. And what Survivor contestant are you most like? Ozzy. He has the heart of a lion, and I'm a lion.
Okay. So he looks like a lion.
Two contestants this season both said that they wanted to be like Ozzy.
I feel like it's three.
Well, that's one of the earlier people?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a bunch of people.
That photo is kind of freaking me out.
Yeah, well.
He's like staring at me.
A bunch of people want to be like Ozzy. Yeah. Want to change their game to be like Ozzy. All right. So let's talk about Paul, the treasure hunter.
I think he's onto something.
You think this is a good idea? So after spring break, he goes and looks for treasure.
From all the drunk people.
All the drunk people are losing.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a hobby that you would like to engage in, Nicole?
I'm not saying I would like to engage in it, but it seems like a really good idea.
Why? What's something valuable that you've lost while you were partying?
I don't remember.
You don't remember, but you certainly something.
I've lost a lot of cell phones.
You've lost a lot of cell phones?
Yes.
Not on my watch.
Not on your... Well, yes, one was on your watch. It was still when I had a flip phone. It was at one of Mike Boogie's clubs. We went and there was a big party and I got really wasted with Erica Landon and I lost my cell phone in the toilet.
What?
Yes.
When was this?
This was probably 9 years ago.
9 years ago?
Uh-huh.
And why were we doing this?
I don't remember why.
That I don't recall this story.
Yeah. You know, every time I hang out with Erica, I get...
Well, you make it sound like you were like besties.
We're not. But when I do see her, we get wasted.
Okay. And then what happened?
And then I didn't realize until the next day when I was like, where's my cell phone? And then I had the flashback.
Yes. And then what did we do?
We had to get another one.
Was I mad?
Yes. Okay.
I must have blocked
that out. But
it
wasn't like an iPhone. It was one of those stupid flip phones.
Luckily, hopefully Paul found it and maybe rescued it and returned it to somebody.
Yes.
Right. So, Nicole, can a guy like Paul do well in the game?
I don't
can
think
he tap into a Rupert, Big Tom type thing? And could he potentially be a factor, not a whactor?
Well, he is a whactor.
Yes.
Anything is possible. Who knows?
Yeah. And so for Paul, do you feel good about him?
I feel like he might be a little too out there.
Yeah.
For these Gen Xers.
A little too out there for the Gen Xers. He seemed to be making a very negative impression in the pregame.
He was mentioned a lot.
He was mentioned a lot and not necessarily fondly. Like, boy, there's a guy who's really wacky who's here.
Yes.
And I wonder if that he's made a negative impression early on.
Like, you don't want to stand out pregame.
He has first boot upside.
Yeah.
He does. That if you were going to like go through the list of, I don't think that he's the person that I would pick number one overall. But if we had a first boot draft right now, he would be in the top five picks.
Top five, definitely.
And I don't know necessarily if we had a winner draft, if he would be in the top five picks.
Certainly not.
Certainly not. So that he is going to be somebody who's polarizing to watch.
Yeah.
I think he fits in good here. I don't think that he necessarily fits in good with the millennials.
I don't think he fits in well anywhere.
He seemed pretty down on the millennials based on his bio.
Yeah.
Now, he is a dad.
But they all did.
Yeah. But there's other people that I feel like I could see them meshing with the millennials better. He's also, I think, the oldest contestant on the season. Mm-hmm. He's 52.
He's the happiest.
He looks happy. He looks happy, but I think it seemed like people were complaining about him in the videos.
Yeah.
Not really by name, but by description.
By description.
So I think that he'll be very fun to watch. I think that he's another one of these people. For every week he's on the show, it'll be gold.
Yes.
But how long can he last?
Yeah.
And I think that he's really in a tough spot after they have a swap, especially if he's outnumbered. Is he going to be able to play well with the millennials?
Yeah.
I don't know. So,
or is he going to try to steal their stuff?
Yeah, I'm worried. Well, he's not Rupert. I think he finds their stuff after they lose it.
Yeah.
I don't think he takes their stuff. I think that probably, I'll say overall, thumbs down on Paul as a player, but I bet he will be excellent TV every week that he's on. I feel like we shortchanged Lucy. Would you feel good or bad about Lucy?
I did not get a good feeling off of Lucy.
She's another person that I think there's not a ton of information to go off of for me. So I'm sort of in neutral mode until I see more.
She just seemed like the Gen X stereotype that was really down on everybody else.
Let's go to Rachel, who I have a feeling you're going to have a lot to say about Rachel.
Oh, Rachel.
I feel like that Rachel did not, that I, we have not talked about this pregame, but I feel like that Rachel is somebody that you did not get a positive vibe from.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Because I know you. I know you like a book.
Uh-huh.
Here's Rachel. Rachel Aiko.
She seems very fun.
Yes. She's energetic, mm-hmm. authentic, and fun.
Yes.
She likes dancing, traveling, and high ropes or high adventure activity. High ropes?
What are high ropes?
I don't know. Like ropes, like a tight rope? Like,
well, that would be a low rope because you'd be what? Underneath you.
What? It would be a low rope could be underneath you?
I'm so tired.
Pet peeves are, I would say, bad manners. Bad manners. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be a Gen Xer? We used to be slackers until millennials came along. Kidding. Gen Xers are hard workers.
Yeah. You know, a pet peeve of mine is when people go say something and then they go, kidding.
Okay. Her personal claim to fame is sharing her raw story of the tragedy she's been through in a book, mm-hmm. in order to help others. She's an author, Nicole.
She's an author.
Yes. She was an author of a book that apparently was a bestseller.
Mm-hmm. Never. I don't know.
Okay. If she could have three things on the island, what would they be and why? SPF, tampons, and lip balm.
Because you want to look good on camera, because the lip balm is what's going
to
do it.
Yeah. A bit of a waste to bring tampons to the island. They have them there. They have them.
Yes.
They're in the med kit. Mm-hmm. That'd be a waste. Like, oh, yes. I had three things that I could bring.
Yeah.
And this was already here.
Yeah. You know, in the 32 seasons, is this 32?
Yes.
No one
33.
Has, 33 seasons. No one has ever mentioned a feminine product to bring to the island.
I have a feeling I bet if we did the research, I bet somebody else probably mentioned.
Yeah, it seems a bit odd.
Okay. But that's on her mind.
Yeah.
And so she wants to be the first Asian Pacific Islander female to win Soul Survivor and the 1 million.
Yeah. Sorry, but you are not the winner.
All right. Not the winner.
Not the winner.
All right. And she also says that there's somebody that she really did not like.
Someone was a jerk.
I feel like that she might have been talking about Paul. That only because everybody is talking about Paul.
Yeah.
Somebody she made a very negative impression of her.
Yeah, but Paul doesn't seem like a jerk. He seems a little out there, but I wouldn't think that he's like a mean guy.
Somebody really pissed her off.
Yeah, I bet it was Chris.
Yes. Why? What do you think? Why do you throw Chris under the bus?
I bet it was him.
Yeah. She also has done some work for Playboy TV, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
One of your favorites.
No.
No? No.
Nothing against it, no.
That's a different Generation X.
Yeah.
Nicole, here is Rachel. And so what is it? Talk it through. What is it that you don't like about her?
I wouldn't say I don't like her. I just don't think she's going to do so well.
You don't think that she has Survivor winner?
No, not at all.
The Asian Pacific Islander female winner will have to wait.
Yes, that someone else will be taking that title.
Yes.
Yeah, a later date.
Yeah, that is a very specific title.
Well, that's what she wants.
Okay. What do you think about her in the class photo, Nicole? She's over here, over in the back row.
I don't know. She kind of blends in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you kind of just don't even notice that she's there almost.
Okay. Well, that would be a good thing for
yeah.
her.
Yeah. But I don't think that's what her personality is going to be like.
I worry about her. She would be probably.
She seems like a chatterbox.
Seems like a chatterbox. That's not a great recipe on Survivor.
No.
She would be high up there in my first boot draft.
Yeah.
If not my pick for first boot.
Yeah.
I think it's between her and the woman that we were about to talk about, if I'm going to flip a coin.
Uh-huh.
And I'm worried about Rachel.
I am worried about Rachel, too. She seems like a very nice, bubbly person, and those people usually don't do well.
You if it's too much. If yeah, it's too
it
much,
seems like it might
no,
be a little too
if
much.
If there's no off switch, that wears on people on the island.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like overall, I'd say thumbs down. I think that especially that, I think that there's like a blue collar sensibility that is running through the core of the Gen X tribe. And I'm not sure how well she necessarily fits in with that.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think her and Lucy are going to be hitting it off.
Yeah, I think that the arrow is pointing down, I think, for Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel great about Rachel.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right, Nicole. Then there's just one other Gen Xer to talk about.
Sunday, bloody Sunday.
Sunday. Yes. We're Sunday Berkest.
Mm-hmm.
And there she is, Sunday, down here, front row, center. Sunday, she's from Otsego, Minnesota.
She also looks like she's on the softball team.
Yeah? Well, which softball team?
The softball team photo.
Oh, that you mean?
Her pose, yeah.
The pose. Yeah. Okay. So she's a youth pastor. She's bossy, compassionate, and tenacious.
Mm-hmm. Bossy, not a good thing.
Not a good thing. She likes to repurpose and paint furniture, interior design, and thrift shopping. She loves to hunt for a good deal. Gen Xer means being hardworking. Her pet peeves are arrogant people who think they're God's gift to the human race, mm-hmm. catty women with the snide comments, the backhanded compliments, and they make other girls in the room feel like they don't measure up. Plus, people who are late drive me nuts.
Yes.
She also notably was a breast cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
She had 5 surgeries, 8 rounds of chemotherapy, 28 days of radiation.
That's a lot.
And she went through a lot of meds. So she's been through a lot. She also has 4 kids. She talks a lot about her relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Her
faith, she's a pastor.
Yes. Her faith shaped her attitude in life. She likes to play cards. And she is most like Lisa Welchel.
Yes.
Yes. All right, Nicole. Let's talk about Sunday. Do you see this all coming together?
No.
No, no.
No, I don't.
Yes. All right. So where do you think the problem is going to be for Sunday?
I'm not sure she's going to fit in.
Okay. So she won't fit in with the Gen Xers or the Millennials or both?
I feel like she might fit in better with the Millennials.
Really? Why is that? I feel like she might have a home with the Gen Xers.
Well, the Millennials seem to be more open to religion and they speak about it more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting. There are a couple of Millennials that have a strong faith.
Yeah.
Interesting in this tribe that you have the quote-unquote heathen in Ken. Could Ken and Rachel together be a thing? Is that a thing? Is she married? Is she single?
She has 4 kids.
No, Rachel.
Oh, Rachel?
Rachel.
I don't know.
So I wonder if that could be something. And then is Sunday not going to get along with them?
Is Rachel bossy?
I don't know. I don't know. She's talky.
She's talky. Yeah, she's chatty.
She's chatty. So I don't know who Sunday's buddy is here in this group.
Mm-hmm.
Who does she fit in with? I feel like that she's not going to love Paul.
No.
Yeah. So
I don't think anybody is.
So is she a person that they go...
She's the outsider?
And, yeah. Is she bad in the first challenge? Is she somebody they look at? I mean, I think she looks the part for being a survivor first boot.
It doesn't look good.
Yeah. The 40-something woman, I feel like, is somebody that first person, like, who do we vote off? Like, that's an easy person to look to.
That's a sad story.
It is a sad story, but then they sort of, as the game moves on, then... She also has a chance of, if we're going to say, who's going to be the person who gets to the finals and gets no votes, you know, I think that she's probably be a top 5 pick in that draft. Also.
Yeah.
So
no matter what, you're not getting a trophy.
Probably not. I don't think they give you a trophy for being the first one off.
No.
So Sunday, I don't feel great about.
Yeah.
What do you think of her video?
I don't remember much from it.
Okay. So not didn't make an impression on
Nicole.
It didn't
make that much of an impression.
All right, so I don't think that she is somebody who we're going to look at as a winner candidate. I think she has first boot upside.
She seems like a very nice woman.
Yeah. I think that if she can sort of share her story, get people on her side, work hard around the camp, perform in the challenges, I think that she could have a place in this Gen X alliance, but then I think that she's also in trouble when she gets to the Millennials.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
You think that she's better with the millennials?
I think she's better with the millennials.
But how many faith-based millennials are there really?
They talked about it. There was at least three.
There's Will. There's Michelle. Mm-hmm. I mean, who's this third one?
I don't remember.
So I think that she has I think that there's two solidly religious.
I don't think it's enough to hold her there, though.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that they're necessarily going to be running the show mm-hmm. to keep Sunday around.
Oh, she could be the mother figure for them.
The mother figgy for them. Yeah. So I'm not feeling great about Sunday.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Sorry, Sunday.
All right, Nicole. So let's get into what everybody is here for.
Yes.
Let's talk about the return of Nicole Stradamus. Now, obviously.
Pressure.
Something went wrong last season.
Did it? I mean, all right, she didn't win, but she was better than you thought she was going to be.
Total blindside.
Is that the mark? Is that the mark that you'll just pick somebody who seems like a disaster?
Who did you pick?
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then you just pick anybody, and then it's just like, well, they did better than expected. So that I
all right, you can't get it
victory.
Right all the time.
Okay.
The real Notre Dame didn't get everything right.
Depends who you ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Nicole, do you have someone? Let's talk this through.
I do have someone.
Okay. Did it come quickly to you, or did you have to really think about it?
I a little bit of both. I when I saw this person, I said, this looks like a winner.
Yes.
But then I said, let me assess the whole situation first.
All right. So you assessed the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
Is this person a millennial or this is a Gen Xer?
It's a millennial.
A millennial.
Yes.
Okay. And just talk us through. Give us your thought process on why you chose the person you chose.
I chose this person because they seem smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the millennials are going to surprise us.
Yes.
And I feel like the Gen Xers are going to be a disappointment.
All right. So from the TV perspective?
I think they'll be great TV-wise, but I think that as far as play goes, I don't think they're going to do as well as they think they're going to do.
All right, Nicole. So tell us, who is the person that you have as your winner pick for...
Can you guess who it is?
Well, I feel like the person that you spoke the highest about was Zeke through these first two shows.
I don't think he's going to
win. So that would be... All right. So, yeah. All right. So then it's
I think that he's a great character and he makes me laugh. So he's a winner there.
Okay. So he is a winner in the Nicole...
In my heart.
All right. So Nicole, tell us who is going to be the winner of Survivor 33.
Well, it's a woman.
A woman.
Yeah, a woman. She's used to the spotlight.
Okay.
She likes to wear pointy shoes and dance around.
Okay.
I'm going with Mari.
Mari, the gamer.
The gamer.
Okay. I think that's a strong pick, Nicole.
Yeah.
All right. Mari Takahashi. I thought about her.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about her. I thought that she'd be a good choice, but I did not ultimately.
Well, we can't pick the same person.
We jinxed her. That was the worst any of us ever did at the time. But we both said Rachel.
That was terrible.
Yeah. No, it's been a minute since I've picked anybody out
that has done well.
Yeah. I sort of went back to the drawing board and I really that over the last like six or seven seasons, I've come up with the likes of the Sarah Lucina and Reed. And Shireen.
You picked Reeves?
Yeah. Yeah. And Sierra and Anna. So it's like a lot of women.
You picked Anna?
Yes. Yeah. Were you here for any of these shows?
Physically, I was here.
Yes. Yes. So I went back to the drawing board and I think I'm going to go just in a different direction here.
You're going to pick a male millennial? I mean, a male Gen Xer.
I'm going to pick a male, and I'm going to pick somebody who... I don't want somebody who's like overly strategic. Again, in another lifetime, I think I would have gone right to David Wright.
Yes.
And said, okay, that's the person. I really wanted to try to find somebody who is really popping off the screen in the social game. And I don't know if that's exactly what I came up with, but I told you, I felt good about Chris!
Really?
Yes.
I think you are so wrong.
Okay, well, you always think I'm wrong, mm-hmm. even when we're talking about Survivor, so that I'm used to that.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 38, so he's not somebody who is way out of touch with the millennials.
Mm-hmm. And but I hates their guts.
I don't think he hates their guts. That I like that he comes from like a tough background. I think that he is somebody who is not going to be afraid to work hard. I think that he can get along with the millennials and, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. He didn't seem like he's too out there. He seemed like he's going to be able to hold his own in the challenges. So give me Chris.
Yep.
Give me Chris.
Well, you can have him.
All right, Nicole. Anything else from our conversation about the Gen Xers?
Now, when does Survivor start?
Okay, Survivor starts a 90-minute premiere.
Mm-hmm.
Premieres on September 21st.
Okay.
The same night as the 90-minute finale of Big Brother 18, which mm-hmm. I know you are very closely watching with bated breath.
Yes.
To see what happens in Big Brother 18.
I just want to make sure my winner pick wins. Yeah. She's still in it, right?
Still in the mix. Mm-hmm. Still in the mix. Heading into the final seven. So we'll see if Nicole Stradamus might have another Big Brother winner to add to her trophy participation trophy case.
No, mine isn't a participation trophy. It's a winner trophy.
Winner trophy.
Yeah.
Okay. So Nicole is a bragger as well. Nicole, do you have a hashtag for this episode of the podcast?
Let's go with hashtag Angry Birds.
Yes, that's what you like. That's what you call the Generation X tribe.
They're the Angry Birds.
I think you've painted this Generation X tribe in such a...
I think we're seeing two different things here, two different tribes. You're seeing like happy people and I'm seeing like...
I think you're buying into the hyperbole of like, we hate millennials.
I'm just going by what my eyes are reading in the bios.
I don't think that when they get out there on the island, when Jeff says go, there's probably going to be a little bit on the mat. Like
they're going to totally roll with it.
This is something to watch for in that first episode because you don't want to fall into Jeff's trap as some survivors have in the past where Jeff is going to be like, all right, what does it mean to be a Gen Xer? And there'll be somebody be like, Jeff, let me tell you that millennials are a bunch of babies. They're a bunch of whiners. And then all the millennials will be like, okay, vote that guy out first. Like somebody will fall into that trap.
Yeah.
And Jeff will like really like goat somebody into like continuing to bash the millennials and bashing the Gen Xers. And it'll be a bad luck.
Do you think they'll be mentioning the trophies on the show?
I'm sure it will come up. I'm sure somebody in the drinking first 5 game? Minutes will mention the words participation trophy. So that's going to be...
Yes, that's going to be our first episode drinking game.
That's going to be a thing. All right. Mm-hmm. So, Nicole, we are getting closer and closer. We're going to be inside the 3-week mark by the time that this podcast goes up. So we are on our way to Survivor 33. Can you believe it?
No.
All right. So that's...
Do you feel old, Mr. Gen Xer, that you were on season 6?
That's not why I feel old.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Just in case you were wondering. So that's what we got coming up here. And of course, still more to come here in the Survivor preseason as we also continue our coverage of Survivor Australia, Nicole.
Ooh.
All right. Also,
not the Outback.
Not Survivor the Australian Outback. No. The Australian Survivor we are continuing to cover, plus all of our coverage of Big Brother 18 here on the podcast. So if you want to make sure you don't miss any of it, you can always subscribe to our podcast. Go to robsthewebsite.com/iTunes. And if you like what we're doing and you'd like to support the shows and find out more about our weekly patron 5 for 5, where Nicole, we could hear from her every week.
I sit in the seat every week.
Yes. And also our monthly patron cast. You can find out more about that if you go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments on robhasawebsite.com and on Nicole's MySpace. And have a good night, everybody. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye.